Welcome to the We Are Calvary podcast, where our mission is to share Jesus and help people experience life change. Thank you so much for listening. Here's this week's message.
Well, good morning. Is it a good morning? Oh, good. Good morning. If you turn in your Bibles to Galatians 6, verses 1 through 5, let's read this together. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Father, we thank you for your word that's alive and actively working in our lives. That as we dig into this passage, these five verses, that you would allow the word to penetrate our hearts and our minds, our souls, that we would leave this place first knowing we have encountered your word that transforms us, and second, that we would leave feeling connected to one another as we learn to bear and share one another's burdens, Father. We love your word. It is so powerful. We're so grateful. We're so grateful that we can break bread together by reading the passages that we have today. So be with us. Holy Spirit, you go and do your work. And we love you, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated as we get started this morning. I've been gone. My name is Mary Armstrong. If I haven't met you, my husband and I came about 39 years ago to Calvary, and we've had the honor of being part of this community for a very long time. And Ray does something every year for 39 years. I've either made announcements and mentioned this, or I've spoken whatever was happening in that service. But I've always said the same things, and he wants me to again tell you that, one, he loves you, and two, pray for him. He's off at Red Mountain. He goes there every year for a week to be able to just pray and seek the Lord. He's praying on behalf of you, of us, and our family, and your family, and just remember him. He'll be back next weekend to speak. And so the thing I get to do is I get to share a summer adventure we had with you. And when he shares it next week, you get to laugh like you didn't hear it before. So I don't know what he'll share, but he will talk more about our summer. We spend the summer with each other. We spend it with time alone with the Lord, and we spend it with our kids. But we also this year included a trip to Williamsburg, Virginia. Anyone been there? Oh my. Have you been there in August? Don't go in August. The humidity is horrid. I don't even know why my brother-in-law left and sister-in-law left Carlsbad and moved to Williamsburg. Well, I do know why, but man alive. So we were there, we were visiting with them just last week, and one of the things that they did for us, because they knew that we needed to survive, was they took us to a water park, okay? Lots of water slides, all that kind of stuff. And we were sitting there with my brother-in-law, my sister-in-law, Ray and I, and we were just like, it was horrid. It was horrible, right? Finally, my sister-in-law said, let's go do the lazy river. Well, I can handle the lazy river. And we're like, yeah, let's go do that. So we are on our way to the lazy river, but then there was this cutback roller coaster slide water thing, right? 5 stories high. And she said, let's go do that. Well, I'm like, no, let's not. And we did do that. So we climb all the stairs and wait in the line, and we get up there. And when we get up there, they have everybody kind of stand in this one spot. And we're standing in this spot, and all of a sudden, she gets quiet, and I see her doing this thing. And she goes, hey, you guys, we're being weighed. I'm like, what? What? Come to find out, you cannot have more than 700 pounds on this little ride in one cart thing, whatever it was, right? And we were 16 pounds over. Sorry. Okay. So we thought, okay, what are we going to do? And I started strategizing. Okay, it's okay. You guys will go. We'll go. You know, we just keep it secret that we were overweight. We don't want anyone to know that. And then all of a sudden, the guy looks at us, and he saw the weight, and he goes, okay, let's put you from lightest to heaviest. I'm like, yeah, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me right now? And so as the story goes on, we get in the cart or in this little, it's like a log ride where you're behind each other. And so I was in the front, by the way. anyway, so we get in light and this sweet 20 something is pulling all of this weight to try to put us in the right position, right? And I'm like feeling bad. I'm like apologizing, sorry. And Ray's lifting, thinking we can lighten the load a little for you. And it's terribly uncomfortable. But he gets us there and he's laughing. And I'm sure it's because he wanted to cry. But he gets us in the place and then he pushes us off. Well, you know what happens when you have a lot of weight in something and you're going downhill, right? What happens? It's like a bullet. We took off like, oh my gosh, I've never been on a ride so fast. And we're in water, so it's not like you have rails and you're like going up in sight. And the most funniest part happened at the end, because as you shoot out of these tubes, they give you space to resolve the ride, right? We shoot out of that tube and we land. We skim the water, all that space, and we land. And I'm like, oh, dear Lord, at least we stopped, right? I could see us bouncing through the park. Like, anyway, that was our adventure. And again, there's more that we had there. Thank you for laughing. But it was fun. And I hope that you have had opportunity to have some fun, because laughter is important. And today, as we get into this topic, it will be heavy. I will warn you ahead of time. I don't know why the Lord put this one on my heart. He could have given it to Pastor Daniel. I don't know. But it seemed to be my task today, and I'm honored to present it. So we're going to dig into these Galatians 6, 1 through 5. And what we're going to look at, again, we're going to talk for the next few minutes on what does it look like to bear and share one another's burdens. Paul gives us four practices within these five verses. He says we restore, we carry, we own, and we examine. And we're going to cover all four of those in the next 20, 30 minutes. So before we get there, though, we have to look at chapter 5, which is 5:22, because before we can do, chapter 6 is not like a new thought. It hinges upon what's happening in chapter 5. And so what Paul is saying in Galatians 5:22 is the fruit comes first. So let's read it together. Galatians 5:22, it'll pop up on your screens or you can take notes. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We're familiar with that. If you've been in the body of Christ any long, you hear it all the time from the platform, the fruit of the Spirit. Noticing that Lance even mentioned this, Pastor Lance, a couple weeks ago, we're talking about one fruit, one workings of the character of God, not several different types of fruit. We're talking about one, and it encompasses all of those character traits of God. Now, what we want to remind ourselves is that this producing of fruit only happens as we're intimately connected to Jesus and we're learning to walk in the Spirit, right? So what does it look like? And you know this, but let's remind ourselves. When we can begin to display love when our flesh would normally display love, it should step back and go, whoa, that was a God moment. When we respond gently when our flesh would normally respond harshly, that's a God moment. We experience peace when our circumstances say we shouldn't have peace. That's a God moment. We exercise self-control when reacting would normally be our response, and that's a God moment. Most of us know that one, right? Self-control, okay. What I think we need to realize is this is supernatural work, a supernatural working of the Spirit of God within us. And so often in our Brave Enough groups, I will ask people just as we begin the journey, where they are in their faith, do you realize that you're a walking miracle? You may have heard me ask you that before, and I want to pause again and ask you, and I want you to think about that. Please think about that. Do you see yourself as a walking miracle? But no. Do you see yourself as a walking miracle? When you respond differently than you once responded because the Spirit of God is changing you, you are experiencing the miraculous work of God. You are experiencing a miracle, a supernatural experience. So if we think about a fruit tree, right? An immature tree is gonna be hard to identify. Unless you're really skilled at it, you're gonna say, great little tree over there. But it needs to be nurtured, allowed to weather the seasons, let the roots grow deep, and then what happens eventually when all of that happens is that fruit begins to appear, right? And then as it ages, that fruit gets better, more delicious. But that's a natural process. You can't make the fruit appear on the tree without the roots and the nutrients and all the growing. And some reason, sometimes we think we should be able to just be gentle without having this intimate relationship with Jesus. We hear about it on a Sunday, we go back out and might say to ourselves, why can't I control myself? Everyone says I should control myself. Give yourself some grace because there's a maturing process that we too follow. The longer we walk with Jesus, though, the more identifiable we should be as his followers. I have failed sometimes, and I've been a Christ follower a long time, but I pray that I'm getting better over time. So as image bearers of God, throughout the ordinary comings and goings of 24 hours in front of us, people should increasingly encounter something of Jesus through us. And do you know where we know when it's really happening? It's when it's in our homes. Because in our homes, we can really be genuinely who we are, right? Am I the only one? Okay, good. Okay, we can let it up. But in our homes, when we begin to reflect God's love to one another and God's goodness and kindness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control in our homes, we know we can go out in the world and that fruit's naturally being produced. Now, it doesn't mean we don't battle our flesh, and it doesn't mean that we don't have to work at this. Have you ever been in a discussion with a relative? Could be a spouse, a friend, a daughter, a son, and you know that you shouldn't say something. You feel that little voice in your head like, don't say it. And you do say it. And what is the fruit of that? Not good normally. Because if we listen to the Holy Spirit, that's what that means by walk in the Spirit. If we walk in the Spirit and we're in communion and we know God's leading our lives and we hear that little voice say, don't do it. Now we choose. Have you ever chosen not to do it, not to say it, and go, ooh, that worked, right? That's what I'm talking about. So write this down, please, if you're taking notes. The power of the Spirit is being manifested when the fruit or Jesus is becoming visible through us. And that means you're walking in the supernatural. Now that brings us directly to Galatians 6. If we're walking, Paul says, now, before you carry one another's burden, make sure that the fruit of the Spirit, that you understand what it means to walk in the Spirit, because we deal with imperfect people and people deal with me and I'm imperfect. Is that true? Oh, good. See, some of you know me. People who sin, people who carry burdens, people who struggle with pride, like me, people like you, people like me, real people living in real community. And that's why it's important when we bear and share burdens of one another that we begin by understanding my intimate relationship with Jesus is going to be revealed. And I walk in the Spirit by making those choices when I hear the Spirit leading and guiding me. And now we're ready to restore. We restore when someone falls, but we do it gently. When someone falls, we respond gently. Galatians 6:1 says, if someone is caught, and that doesn't mean this, oh, I see you lied. Oh, I caught you. You weren't supposed to have that cookie. Oh, that's not what that verse, that word means. If someone is caught, that word means trapped. My fear is being trapped in an elevator. I don't know what I'd do. Caught. When sin catches us, we're caught and there's no way out, and panic sets in and fear and all the things that come along when something's caught. So when you think of that, bring that word to mind of what's it look like to be caught. And if we get caught in sin or we know someone, we are to, those who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. Let's define sin real quick. Lovely topic, isn't it? You there? Okay, stay engaged here. Sin, four ways to define sin. One is something we do that does not give others a correct opinion or estimate of God's character. See, the fruit of the Spirit reflects God's character. When we do not reveal the fruit of the Spirit, and we're not giving others a correct opinion of who God is, because that's how we're created in God's image, that is sin. Let me ask you, can we do that 24/7? Please say it loudly. No, we cannot. But we have to be aware that we're called to be image bearers. Second, it can be knowing to do good but choosing to not do it. Sin can be something someone has done to us and our flesh is bearing the weight of that sin. That's brave enough, where we go deep. And we call that brokenness. Sin can be generational, habits and patterns of living that are passed from generation to generation that don't align with God's character. I'll be honest, those are called strongholds. They're passed along the way we deal with conflict. In my family, generational, honestly, I can trace it back to a great-great-grandfather. I've done the genogram. You know what it is? I'm out. I'm never gonna talk to you again. That's a stronghold. It's a way of living that's been passed through generations, and that can be sin because it doesn't reflect God's character. Does he ever say, I'm out? He never does, thank you, Jesus. So we need to look at Romans 3:23. And this verse helps us understand it's a level playing field. For all have sinned and come short of the glory. That word means doxa of God. For all have sinned and come short of the doxa of God. And I use that word because when you hear glory in this text, you want to remember that that means we fall short of giving others a correct opinion or estimate of God's character. Text also says in other verses that says that God has revealed his glory through creation. And what he's saying is, I have revealed my character traits through creation. Ever seen the power of a tornado? Devastation can happen, but it's powerful. How about the wind? How about the waves? How about a beautiful sunset? All characteristics of who God is. So, what do? We need to respond to sin. Why do we talk about sin like this? One, everybody has it. So let's just stop playing like we don't. Is that okay? Second, we're called to help carry that burden of sin with one another. Sin and brokenness comes in, but how we do it matters. Have you ever had your sin or brokenness exposed and you've been met with harsh criticism, correction, or shame? Anyone? It's gonna get really quiet. Thank you. Yeah. So how did it impact you? Let me give you some ideas. Did it make you want to hide? Did for me. Did it make shame take a deeper root? Did you decide honesty isn't safe? Did you begin to perform so you looked really good on the outside? This was me. See, harsh correction can produce outward conformity or hiding, but it's never going to produce inward transformation. And we need to know that because we bear and share the burdens of others. So let me ask this question. Have you ever been caught in a cycle of sin or had your brokenness exposed and someone responded to you with gentleness? Yeah, how's it impact us? We feel seen. We feel safe. We can tell the truth. We feel loved. And you know what's funny? Is in my life, when I'm confronted like that, I want to change. I want to do it different. And that's why I love Paul's word about restore. You guys still with me? Okay. He didn't simply say correct or discipline. He said, let's restore. But what are we restoring? To restore means bringing something back into proper order. What's the proper order? If the goal isn't punishment and the goal is restoration, and we're helping someone gently put their thoughts, feelings, and action back into order, what order? Don't we have to ask that question? Is it how I want you to behave? Okay, that looks good. No, the order is that we're restoring them to the person that Jesus had designed them to be, the image bearer, and the mission that he's called them to. Don't make a mistake. You that are on mission for Jesus, don't think you're not going to be tempted, that the enemy wants to trap you. And then if you fail, you go, I can't do it. I'm not qualified. This happened with Peter, right? Peter denies Jesus 3 times. Jesus is hung on the cross. Peter goes back to fishing. His mission that was this, following and living the way of the cross, the way of Jesus, the kingdom principles, all of a sudden now he's back to his old life. And what does Jesus do? He comes and he calls him to the shore. You guys know the story, right? He calls him, he asks him if he loves him. Peter replies, yes, I do, Lord. Jesus starts with agape love, unconditional. Peter said, yeah, but I imagine inside he knew, I can't even say that. I've said this before. I'm a failure. And Jesus asks him again and again. And finally, he restores his mission and he says, so go feed my sheep. See, someone in this space needs to be reminded that your sin or your brokenness does not disqualify you. And we are required as brothers and sisters in Christ to help restore you through the Spirit so that you can keep on mission, becoming his image bearer and on mission for spreading the gospel, the good news. And we need to remember that, because Paul didn't say expose one another, shame one another, talk about one another, reject one another, cast them out of the church. Did he say that? No. Did Jesus do that anywhere in the New Testament? No. So he says, restore one another gently. Now, I just want to make note of this. We're right back at the fruit of the Spirit again. You who live by the Spirit should restore, because gentleness is not a personality trait. I am not. My voice isn't gentle. I would never be a good announcer. It's harsh. It's nasally. I'm just loud. Doesn't lend itself for gentleness, right? But some of us grew up in homes where correction was harsh. I asked this in the last service, and I think I'll do it again. Anyone, and I want to be clear here, gentle correction, gentle restoration. Anyone was disciplined with a belt? Lift your hands. Oh my. Anyone disciplined with a switch? Not productive. Conformed us. Me too, by the way. Conformed us. Did it help us? How did it help us? Fear. Harsh, physically harsh, emotionally harsh. How many of us have had harsh tones and words spoken without the thought of how they've landed? Right? Yeah. See, for some of us, gentleness can almost be like a foreign language, because we have very little human experience from which to draw. And that was me. Sounds like maybe some of you. So what do? We look to Jesus, right? Because we know he's gentle. Thank you, Jesus, for being gentle. Gentle or harsh, when the woman was caught in adultery and all the accusers brought her and said, let's stone her. That's the law. Jesus wrote on the ground and then he lifted and he said, the first one without sin cast the first stone. And one by one, they all left until Jesus was standing there with just the woman. And he says to her, "Who condemns you?" And she said, "No one." And he looks at her and he says, "I don't condemn you either. So stop condemning yourself." He didn't say that. That was my little interjection for someone in this space. Why do we keep condemning ourselves? Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you." Someone here today needs to hear, Jesus is not condemning you. But his message went on to the woman and it goes on to you and me and it says, "Now go and leave your life of sin. Go do it different. Go do it different." Is that gentle or harsh restoration? It's gentle. So here's our truth. You can write this down. Truth and gentleness exist together. Truth and gentleness can exist together. And that brings us back to Galatians 6:1. Go back to that verse. Paul adds something extremely important. He says, "But watch yourselves. If you're going to restore someone, watch yourselves or you may also be tempted." And that brings us back to the humility in which we should approach restoration of someone, carrying someone's burden. We have to begin and always remember that I have to watch myself first. What is my motive in this? What am I angry? This works in our homes, folks. This works in our marriages, in our relationships. What is my motive? Am I doing this because I'm angry? Am I offended? Do I need to be right? And here's a really good one. Are you ready for this one? Do I secretly feel spiritually superior? And we have to say, what's the Spirit revealing to me about myself first? Because when we do that, we get our ear tuned to him so that when I go to someone to say, "Hey, I sense something's heavy on you," I'm gonna hear the Spirit before I hear my motive. So in healthy community here at Calvary, we don't ignore brokenness. And we don't condemn people for being broken. We tell the truth gently because we remain humbly aware of our own need for grace. And that moves. Now we're ready to carry. We carry. We help with what is too heavy for others to carry alone. And this is the main part of the message that I wanted to teach, but the Holy Spirit wouldn't let me go straight here until we covered the other. Carrying each other's burdens in this way, when we do it, we are fulfilling the law of Christ. A miracle again. A miracle. A God-given mission. So the picture is weight. A burden is something that has become so heavy that we can't carry it by ourselves. David describes it in Psalm 38. He describes it in relationship to his sin. He says, "My iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me." And then he goes on to say, "I am feeble and crushed. I groan because of the torment of my heart." Have you ever felt that weight of brokenness? What was done to you and you keep living out those behaviors and lashing out and anger and things that do not reflect God, and we're responsible for those things, but the root is the brokenness and the pain that we're carrying and we feel like we're drowning. Anyone? Yeah. David's feelings and our feelings can be too much to carry. And when it's like that, we come in here and we close our mouths and we don't tell anyone. We go to group and we let them know just what we need to let them know. Is that how we do that? No, that is not. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, "He who is alone with his sin is utterly alone." And that's why James 5 is so important. Confess your sins. Tell your story. Share your strongholds with one another and pray for one another. Why? That you may be healed. There is a freedom that we can experience where we walk without all that ugly stuff dictating our thoughts, feelings, and actions. And someone here is saying, "Great, Mary, but I'd prefer to just keep it between me and the big guy." Hey, that's a normal response. Or you're saying, hey, could I just confess to Jesus and then have someone pray for me for healing? We have to go to the word, right? The word says, confess to one another, pray for one another. And here's why, because God has designed healing to happen in community. Thank you for that. See, it took me a really long time to realize that. I was in ministry 25 years before I got to the burden so heavy that I had to listen to the Spirit and I didn't want to. And I had to bring a group of women around because he brought them to me. And I had to begin to tell them things about my life that no one had ever heard. Sin done to me. Results of the way I was living that did not glorify God. Was it fun? No. Was it freeing? Yes. Was it healing? Yes. And someone is sitting in this space today, and I'm telling you, you've been carrying it alone too long. And there is a community of people, and I'm not saying every person, I'm saying people that walk in the Spirit that want to sit with you and help carry your burden. And that's biblical community. Truth, Spirit-led truth plus community over time brings healing and freedom. And I'm not telling you anything you don't probably already know, but I am admonishing you to not retreat into isolation. The burden, before we move to the third point, the burden is not just sin. We've spent a lot of time on sin because that's the context of that verse. I thought it would be more about this. This is the reason I was wanting to teach on this topic, but I had to be true to the word. It was about that weight of sin. But we also carry burdens where grief is not meant to be carried alone. If you're sitting here and you're grieving, please don't do it alone. Loss can be so heavy that we don't even know we need someone. And that's where the body of Christ needs to fine-tune our eyes to ask. Pain is not meant to be carried alone. Trauma's not. Disappointments in family, crisis, or failures, that's not. And once we begin to experience real biblical community, we will crave it. I crave it. Last summer, I had to call in my girls. And man, they were there for me. I crave community, but I didn't always. Isolation, the enemy wants, but it's not God's plan. So second, what we need to do when we're carrying someone's burden, actually, I'm gonna go back a moment. So notice the weight around you, would you please? Notice people's weight. Ask them what's been weighing on you lately. Start in your homes. Start in our homes. Listen. Don't move toward fixing. Just try to figure out how heavy is that burden. Move towards the weight. What can I do? What can I do to help lessen the load? Ask. What can I do? If they don't know, say, I know. I'll take your kids to school. I'll bring you a dinner. We had a men's group where I didn't hear the details, but I heard that this man was struggling and one of the guys in the group just showed up at his house. I don't know the details of any of that, but I love the thought of that community just showing up because people need to know you don't have to do it alone. And thirdly, we own. We take responsibility for what belongs to us. Now, if we go back up, Paul's just said, carry each other's burden. Then in verse 5, he says, but each one should carry their own load. And you're like, okay, that sounds contradictory. But no, it's both. A burden is something that has become too heavy for me to carry alone. My load is what God has entrusted to me. And we're responsible for that. And I'm gonna keep this really short because we don't need a lot of time here, but I will say this. This morning coming to church, the Holy Spirit impressed on me to say in this little section 3 of this we own is that stop owning what's not yours. If a relationship is struggling, only own yours, your choices, your anger, your sin, your brokenness, your attitudes, your response, your obedience, your boundaries, your spiritual growth. That is your load to carry. You cannot be God to that person. You cannot be their savior. You cannot change and you cannot heal them. But you can own yours and then say to them, I'm gonna walk beside you. I'm gonna encourage you. I will pray for you. I will help you carry that burden. But But I am not your savior. I am not the Holy Spirit who can heal. I am not the one that's responsible for your decisions or actions. Is it okay for me to say that? Amen. Because we carry that guilt that we should have done something. In essence, we're saying, I will help carry what is too heavy without taking responsibility for what God has entrusted to you, right? Lastly, we examine our last point. So we've said, we restore gently, we carry, we own our part, and we examine. We keep the mirror turned toward ourselves. Verse 4 says, each one should test their own actions. Really, if you have your Bible, open this and underline these, because I think it's an important thing not to miss in these five verses. Paul keeps saying something. In verse 1, he says, watch yourself. In verse 3, he says, don't think more highly of yourself than you should. In verse 4, he says, take your own action or test your own actions. In verse 5, he says, carry your own load. And right in the middle, verse 2, he says, do all this while carrying the burdens of one another. What is Paul saying? He's teaching a principle Jesus lived by and showed us. We are to remain humble. We are to be led of the Spirit. And we are to grieve when we see the weight that people are carrying. We do all that, Paul says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? You know, but let me read it. John 13, 34, Jesus tells his followers, a new command I give you. What? Louder. Thank you. I didn't say please. Please louder. Thank you. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Our motivation is love. Because why? God's character. God is love. So we restore because Jesus restores us. We carry because Jesus carried our sin and shame to the cross. We own because Jesus calls us to take up our cross and follow him. And we examine because we remain humbly dependent upon his grace. And in doing all these things, the cool thing isn't that we'll have freedom and healing and new relationships. You know what the best part of it is? We get to be the living hope to the world. We get to be the gospel lived out in our neighborhoods, in our homes. My heart in my, you know, it is true, as you get older, you know less. That is true. But as I've gotten older, my heart breaks more easily. Three questions. What do you need to own? What do you need to let go of that's not yours to own? What relationship have you been trying to fix and you've been owning it, and you need to only own your part? And that's a big part sometimes. Is there anyone in here? And I'm going to put us on the spot because we're in community and we can confess our sins one to another, right? Anyone taking ownership of something that they shouldn't? If so, why don't you lift your hand, because we're going to pray. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Mine goes up too. Thank you. God sees that. Today's the day. How about this one? Are you sitting in this space and the burden is so heavy that you can't breathe? And you fooled everyone. See, sin isn't ugly in regard to, don't kid around him, he's contagious, I might get it. Sin should break our hearts that there's a brother or sister sitting in here trapped. Trapped. And if you're here and you think, Mary, it's been rough, and maybe it's something that's been done to you and you've been trying to work it out in your soul and live different, and it's not working, maybe it's that you're caught in a behavior that you can't seem to break. If that's you, I'm gonna ask you to be brave enough to stop, step out of isolation, and lift your hand so we can pray for you. Anyone in this space. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This is for God, not us, but there is confession in community that brings healing. And you are being so courageous. So courageous. And I'm just amazed at the power of God in this space right now. Because God sees you and he wants to set you free. And don't move in the space you're at right now as I change to the last one. Who knows if someone is carrying the weight of sin and you've been prompted to go and say, let me help you. Anyone in this space, say, I know someone and I need to call them and tell them they're not alone. Is there anyone? Thank you for that hand. And that one, and that one, and that one, and that one. And here's what we're gonna do. Don't stop what you're doing right now. The power of confession ushers in healing and renewal. And so as we sing this song, we're gonna stay quiet before the Lord. But if you feel compelled that you need someone to pray with you, so you openly speak it to someone. We have a team that'd be down here. Saturday night, no one came. It didn't matter. This is a God thing. This is not my thing. But if you need that prayer, don't leave without speaking it to someone. And the enemy will say, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And you just tell him to get out of your way. Don't let him get you to where you can't get down here fast enough. So again, we're gonna sing the song, Stay Seated. We'll stand midway through. We'll end our service in a moment. But if you need prayer to confess, we'll be down front. For those that have their hands around you, you don't need a pastor down here praying. We're the body of Christ. Let's live like it. Let's pray one for another right now. Maybe someone next to you is weeping. Put your arm around them and pray with them.
Thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to partner with us in sharing Jesus and helping people experience life change, you can support our mission by clicking the link in the description. If this message has impacted you, please subscribe and share. To learn more, visit wearecalvary.com. We'll see you back next week.